Welcome to the new Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news on the local Colorado economy and initiatives that focus on the development of cybersecurity economics. You don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert to get plugged in. Your host, Chris Gorog, brings it straightforward, asks the tough questions, and brings the cyber world to a level of understanding for everyone. Chris is personable and opens up with our guests on the issues we all would like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join our host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
Welcome to today's episode of New Cyber Frontier. On today, I have Nick Shook, who is a lawyer who does cybersecurity and also works with cannabis, and he's from Las Vegas, and also does solutions for web services, Amazon Web Services. Nick, welcome today. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing good. So this is just a candid conversation. We really didn't plan too much about what we're going to talk about. But I also work with a group in Colorado that is working on cannabis tracking with blockchain, as you are. So we wanted to kind of compare notes about what's happening in the different regions and what the pretense of it is. But first of all, Nick, give us your background and how you got to be a cyber attorney, working with cannabis, and a solutions developer for web services.
So yeah, I went to law school. I didn't really plan on what to do. I graduated in college right after the recession happened. So I went to law school just because, but I fell in love with programming while I was there. And since then, I've tried to work in both. Cannabis is a more recent thing. I've been working in that for the past year and a half. And it's definitely something I'm passionate about.
Yeah. So I got pulled into working with cannabis here in Colorado because the state university, who is, you know, they're not in the user community, they're in the research. The state university here, Colorado State in Pueblo, has one of the biggest botany departments. And as of such, they kind of got connected with the Colorado legalization effort of cannabis from the research perspective. So we got pulled in as to help make a technology solution for the state to track legal cannabis because they have, the problem I've heard, and I can't quantitize this or whatever, is that there's 3 to 5 times as much cannabis in the state of Colorado than is legally grown here because it's become like a laundering pot for the U.S. Ship it to Colorado. Or for the world, maybe even ship it to Colorado, then they can seep it out into other states where it's not legal. So that's kind of the pretense of how we got involved to try to save the state's revenue producing agent because they had no way to tell what they were looking at if they pulled somebody over in law enforcement, even with large amounts of cannabis, where'd it come from? Once it's on the ground, it all looks the same. So that's kind of the pretense here. It's not as much tracking the logistics of who has it and whatever, just is it legal or is it not? So give us kind of the pretense of the need there in Las Vegas for cannabis tracking.
Yeah, it's definitely along the lines. One of the biggest public policy reasons why cannabis is recreational these days is because they want to undercut the black market. For price reasons, there are reasons why people still go to the black market, but a lot of that is because some of the regulations that are imposed on these facilities are costly, and definitely something that blockchain can kind of drive the cost down for the industry as a whole. For instance, I don't know if you're familiar with the program Metric, but it is an API that state governments use to track marijuana. So all of the facilities have an API key, and usually they use a point-of-sale provider or different software to interface with Metric or Metric's web app itself. And it's a good program, but it does require RFID tags, which are pretty costly in a world where you could just use digital signatures and then cheaper materials to actually identify the physical goods. I think we'll still get the same level of provenance and then all the additional benefits of blockchain, such as the data is in one central location and is shared among various hosts, it's immutable. You can tell who what wrote what and when. You could have like Internet of Things devices sign transactions. There's a bunch of very cool reasons why I think blockchain is a great use case for this industry, as you see too.
Yeah. Well, let's take a break and we'll come back to that right after we hear from our sponsors.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
We're here with Nick Shook, who is an attorney working on cannabis tracking in the state of Nevada, Las Vegas he's from, where they're looking to use blockchain to track the whereabouts of the cannabis. And before the break, we were talking about metric system, which, yes, I have become familiar with as it's kind of the standard across the industry. Now, my question to you is, are you looking at working with the metric system or replacing, you know, kind of being a higher assurance replacement to it? What's your thoughts about, you know, how do you align with that system?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think the most important thing with any software system is adoption. And our approach is all of our code is open source. It lives out there in the open. And we wanted to create a web app that interfaces with Metric. And then from that, have the facilities, the dispensaries, the cultivation centers, et cetera, tell us the types of transactions that should be writing to the chain itself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, it's public knowledge that you would sell this strain to this facility. Like, I sold Bubba Kush to this extraction facility to make dabs out of it. But the pricing information and the actual quantity sold is stuff that should be proprietary and should live off-chain. Like, maybe there would be a pointer on the blockchain itself pointing to that data for the facilities involved in the transaction and the state regulators. But yeah, there's definitely a push and take with all of this.
Interesting. So can you tell me, you know, how far are you along? You said it's an open source platform. You know, what's the status? Are you actually operational now, or do you foresee that soon? Where are you at?
So we have a few beta customers, and they've all been grateful with their time. We'll probably not launch in production officially until Q3, Q4, but we're making good progress. It's me and two other attorneys who are also passionate about cannabis, which is great, and someone who's been a longtime security person that will help us with the networking aspects of making sure the blockchains themselves are secure.
Okay, so and how do you, so you have, how many developers do you have working on this? Do you have a pretty good open source community, or is it just voluntary? What's your...
No, not really. I'm trying to encourage more people in the industry to learn how to code.
Uh-huh.
And I think eventually this would be awesome to be an exemplar project. I guess one great thing about cannabis is that it really invokes mental growth. And the people that work in the industry, yeah, they may start out as people who just trim pot or are bud tenders, but they want to grow as individuals. And I think programming is a great avenue for these people.
Mm-hmm.
And another reason why we wanted to make this open source was we can have this be that kind of exemplar project for them.
Okay. What platform are you using? Are you using a particular chain or a spinoff of a cryptocurrency, Ethereum, or what are you using?
Yeah, so our plan is to use the Hyperledger project,
mm-hmm.
Specifically Sawtooth. And
okay.
I went to a Hyperledger Hackfest back in February, and they were talking about the idea of interoperability with all their frameworks because they each do something really well.
Mm-hmm.
In our use case, it would be great if we could use Sawtooth and Hyperledger Indy Sovereign.org is an instance identity, and it's basically an authentication framework, and then the actual business logic, which is a common trope in web applications. Usually your authentication layer could be totally separate, like if you use Auth0 or Amazon Web Services Cognito to do your authentication, that's different from your actual application logic. And same with blockchain. We could use Indy for authentication and Sawtooth for how much the pod weighs, who touched it last, what is the provenance of how this got to the consumer ultimately.
Mm-hmm. Have you done any like performance testing on, you know, I know a lot of those Hyperledgers have some, you know, limitations as to how many transactions you can get over a certain amount of time. Do you have any metrics on, you know, how that can work and what types of, I guess, first of all, how many can be handled by the blockchain? And secondly, how many transactions does the community create? Have you made any numbers to put to that?
So I guess we haven't done performance testing in terms of how many transactions, like what's the maximum threshold. So I would be ignorant to just throw out a number about that. But for our use cases, it's been fine. Sawtooth has a consensus algorithm called proof of elapsed time, which is a little bit different than the proof of work, mm-hmm. in that it uses randomization to guarantee that transactions are unique and get added as they come in.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of total transactions per day, the metric total database isn't huge, I would per se, but I think the benefits of having an Internet of Things devices that aren't just RFID tags running to the chain itself is that there are a bunch of other compliance metrics that the state would want to capture if they could, mm-hmm. like making sure the storage conditions don't exceed like 90 degrees, because then the plants from hermaphrodize or can grow mold if they're already cut. Or like the CO2 levels aren't too high, so the employees aren't endangered. I think Sawtooth is built for that use case, and that's what kind of drew me towards it.
Yeah.
Especially hearing that some of the other people that they work with are building the same type of applications with probably more transactions than what we're doing.
Okay. Do you have a number of like how many transactions per second you need to support maybe the state of Nevada? Do you have any kind of numbers on that?
Honestly, it's probably not more than 5,000. And that's like a gross overestimate, I think, per second.
Okay. Yeah, I just was curious if you had done any workups on that. Interesting. As far as are you partnering with Metrics or just open source that's going to tie into it?
Yeah, so I just took the Metric API test, so I'll get an API key soon so we can interface the data there. I think like if I'm playing lean startup methodologies to get the most adoption as possible among Nevada facilities,
mm-hmm.
The route where we give them a web app that at least interfaces with Metric and then starts writing it in our blockchain, I think, is the method we want to approach this.
Okay, interesting. And I think I connected with you through the Linux Foundation. You're working pretty mm-hmm. closely with them as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we posted a few Hyperledger Las Vegas meetups. Those have been great. We'll continue to try to build up the community out here. And Linux Foundation has been great.
Yeah, you have a pretty good community there that's interested in the Hyperledger and the development of this?
It's definitely not as big as I hope, but it's there, so we just got to keep building on it.
I hear you. And likewise, we have a community here working on distributed ledger technology. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with the legislation that was passed recently in the state of Colorado?
I know that there's some new tracking. Some of those are getting their way here into Nevada too, but yeah, please tell me more.
Yeah, we just put legislation through. It was passed the 30th of May this year, so just a couple weeks ago, and it's not for cannabis tracking per se, but they've identified over 30 programs within the state where distributed ledger may be a value in opening up visibility and tracking for either public records or controlled substances or operational use programs where multiple parties or consumers interact, DMV, public records, notary, real estate records, Medicaid, things like those are just examples of some of the programs. But the legislation was to give the state a requirement to evaluate their programs for the added value that distributed ledger could bring to them by implementing it. So how much return on investment, basically, how they can look at losses or inefficiencies in the programs, put a dollar value to those, and determine how much it would be worth to invest of that losses into a new program with distributed ledgers. So that's kind of what the legislation was about, and I think it just opened up the floodgates to all these programs that could be of value for distributed ledger and just many different models to do that.
Yeah, that's great. And there are tons of use cases, especially in the public domain.
Yeah, let's take a break here from our sponsors.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Over 3 million data breaches happen every single day. That's over 2,000 records being compromised every minute. So often, we focus on securing web data access. But what if the attackers are already inside, having gained direct access to your storage through data management software? When it comes to communications that go directly into your storage devices, make SNIA your first line of protection. SNIA's conformance testing limits outdated communications that are known to be used by attackers. It works continuously behind the background to make sure your storage is protected. To find out if your data is truly secure, visit our website at www.snia.org/cybertest.
All right, welcome back, a new cyber frontier. We're talking to Nick Shook, a lawyer for cybersecurity in Las Vegas, also working on cannabis tracking. Nick, before the break, we were talking about the legislation in Colorado, and I was kind of bringing to your attention the types of programs and things that had been allotted or are being looked at in Colorado. It might be new to you that we had that going on just passed. So we're looking forward to it, but what were your thoughts on that? We'd start discussing right before the break.
So you were talking about medical records. That's another great example of the blockchain. I guess, what would you consider the test of whether or not we should put something on the blockchain versus something in just a regular database? That's something that I've talked to a lot of people about. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, for example, the Medicaid in the state of Colorado, we had a couple months ago, we had the state senator on, and also the compliance officer for the state, talking about audits they did on the Medicaid for the state of Colorado, and they found $100 million in mismanagement. So that is not fraud. I'm not going to say there's all kinds of fraud going on. I'm saying it's just double billing. Oh, well, we billed, now we have to reverse the billing. Happening over 100,000 different doctor's office insurance companies back and forth because visibility isn't there. So I think a blockchain in that instance to show the transactions so people can say, okay, I don't have to try and bill again or have an accidental double billing or reverse the billing when I need to, that was a valid bill, so I need to rebill. And just those back and forth kind of money transfers that are because the system takes so long that they're waiting on it and they don't, the transaction then gets done again or undone. And things like that, just being able to see a record, opening up the visibility of the transactions with a program like that, I think would be game changing.
Yeah, I agree.
So, that's kind of where—
And to your point—
Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, and to your point, making a parallel back into the cannabis industry, recording cash transactions is a great use case for blockchain in general, or just coding any type of fiat currency transactions. And for me, it's surprising how many people don't understand that you can do that. You don't necessarily need a cryptocurrency to use blockchain technology.
Yeah, definitely. You know, one of the things I always start out, we have a group that meets on a weekly basis, and we bring in new people all the time. And the first thing I start out is, this is not about cryptocurrency. We're not doing monetary transactions. We're looking at doing records, visibility of records, and the digital transactions that people do for operations in any of those programs we had discussed. But so often, blockchain and cryptocurrency are synonymous with each other. It's like people don't separate. It's like that's only the first application using blockchain, where there will be hundreds of them, thousands of them in the future. And that was just the first successful one. But it's not probably even the strongest use cases, is my thought. Yeah. So where else do you see, we saw cannabis tracking, Medicaid, programs within the state. Where else do you see being strong use cases for blockchain in future?
I've heard a good use case for utilities, like how power gets allocated.
Yeah.
Out here in the Southwest in Las Vegas, how water gets allocated is very important. Trying to make sure that people are getting responsible with that.
Yeah, and opening up visibility that, I had not thought about the water, but that is something here in Colorado that we have issues with as well. But definitely the power and utilities is something that we're very involved with some use cases for blockchain. So I could definitely see the power there, where distributed microgrids, basically the model of having solar cells on everybody's house doesn't work with the utility companies because they can't trust the communications coming from all those people's residences, because somebody could just say that they're giving power to the grid and they're not, and just get free money. And the utility companies don't have a way to vet that. They need a distributed ledger technology connected to the solar cells and everything, the distributed power resources, to prove those communications. Yeah, make sure
the solar cells will be writing to the blockchain.
Yeah. So, and what you have with currently, though, is utility companies have tried this, where they have people all over trying to, and they're selling power back to the grid, but they can't do it on a real-time basis. They have to do it with their meters, and they can only tell whether it's going backwards or forward. Yeah, it's a challenge. So a lot of it was speculated for over the last decade, transactive energy, where you'll be able to have distributed power resources all over the world and not have big power plants. So everybody in their home is using wind, solar, or even they've looked at distributed nuclear, which is safer small reactors that can be in bigger facilities. But they can't do that model until they have a distributed trust that the distributed ledgers could bring the part.
Well, I remember those as elite pledge.
Say that again?
Where would those nodes live?
The nodes?
The distributed trust.
And that's what I said. That's what the distributed ledger could do, the blockchain.
Mm-hmm.
Is basically show who's making what transaction, and keep that distributed so everybody could see it for billing purposes.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. So what do you see on your cybersecurity attorney side? What do you, kind of work are you doing there in Vegas? Anything interesting?
Not recently.
Yeah.
GDPR, I guess, more or less, is making sure that when you delete a user, you also delete all the associated data with it. If you're using a SQL database, you could use the cascading foreign key. So when you delete the user table, you would delete all of their associated records.
Okay.
I learned that if a European company did facial recognition, they don't have to necessarily retrain their algorithms if a user requests that they don't want their data stored with that company anymore.
Interesting.
But that was a work that I was affiliated with. But most recently, it's just been conforming with that.
Yeah. Well, I think, definitely an interesting thing here working on the cannabis tracking. And we'll have to keep in touch on that as I'm kind of loosely involved with what's going on here as well. But as we move forward, we'll keep comparing notes on this, Nick.
Yeah, definitely. The work is out in the open, github.com/CannaLedger or CannaLedger.io. We are always looking for people that want to beta test the staging version of our software. So you can send an email to nick@CannaLedger.io.
Okay.
And yeah, I would love to talk to anyone who's interested in this project.
There you go. If you want to get involved with this project, reach out to Nick, or you can find it on GitHub. We definitely hope you get some visibility from the show.
Thanks. I really appreciate your time today.
Sure. And thanks for joining today, Nick. You have a great day.
You too.
All right. Bye. The views or opinions expressed during this podcast are not those of Colorado Technical University.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of New Cyber Frontier. Remember to get involved. Often we think that someone else will handle privacy and security in the virtual world, but you are the only one truly in command of your virtual fate. Join our mailing list so we can keep you informed of breaking news and new releases. If you have an idea, if you have a question that you would like to hear answered, or if you want to get involved with our efforts, reach out to us at newcyberfrontier.com. We also encourage you to visit our sponsors' links, as they are the ones that really make this show possible. I want to thank each of you for supporting the show, and we look forward to seeing you back for the next episode of New Cyber Frontier.